have your Bible, would you go to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. We have been moving our way through the latter part of chapter 5, starting in verse 22, got through the end of that chapter, and now we're in the beginning of chapter 6, and we'll spend one more week there talking about the Christian home. And so the young people may be wondering why they weren't dismissed to children's church this morning. The reason you're in here this morning is this text is talking directly to children. And we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But we left our children in here for that very reason. So young people, if you have a Bible, teenagers, young people, if you're usually in children's church, get close to your parents where you can look along in their copy of God's Word. And I would ask you this morning to try to the best of your ability to limit your distractions and to pay attention to what God's Word has to say to you. Parents, if you're here this morning, I want to say something to you before we begin to read the text this morning. Children, from a biblical perspective, are always seen as a blessing from the Lord. And the reason that I want to say that this morning and that I think that's so important to say that is because many times the culture can creep into our thinking in regards to children. And children become more of a burden than a blessing. And that burden is normally seen because we don't get to get the lake house or the boat or the retirement that we want because those children are in the way of that. But from the biblical perspective, that's never the case. As a matter of fact, I want to read to you Psalm 127, verse 3. It says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And so we need to thank God for our children. And I know that it's difficult raising children because we're in the middle of that. But it is a blessing from the Lord. So if you have your Bible, young people, like I said, open your Bibles up. Look on with mom and dad. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, we'll read through verse 4, and then we'll pray together. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, I pray that you shape our understanding by your word and by your spirit in this regard to the Christian home. And Lord, as we've prayed, bend our wills to your will rather than us conforming to what the world says, that we would conform our life to the scriptures and what you have to say about the family. Lord, I pray that you would change us into disciples that are under the lordship of Christ. And I pray this by giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that are quick to obey. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say something about the context of the scripture that we've looked at each week in chapter 5, starting really in verse 18, working to chapter 6, verse 1. Paul is addressing people under the roof of a Christian home. And there's certain assumptions that Paul has, and I think there are assumptions that all of us would have if you're addressing a Christian home, and that is that people under the roof of this Christian home are under the lordship of Christ, first and foremost. And secondly, that they are under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that I say that is because the context really kind of insists that that be the case. Demands it, as a matter of fact, because if you go back to chapter 5 and verse 18, and you can read that in your own time, Paul says that every Christian should seek to be filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. That's not something that just happens once. He says it's something that we need to seek in our life over and over and again. And then he tells us what the manifestation of that Spirit-filled life will look like. And one of the manifestations is that the home of a Christian under the influence of the Spirit and under the lordship of Christ will look the way Paul's talking here. And so Paul started with the wives and what their life looks like under the lordship of Christ and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he said, wives will submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And some of you here that weren't here during that message, maybe you're bristling a little bit at that idea. But I would encourage you to go and get that message. We have that available on the internet to look at what was said about the idea of submission and that it's actually really a God thing. It's a beautiful thing if we understand it. In the same way, Paul spoke to husbands in chapter 6 or chapter 5, starting in verse 25, and he said that the husbands are to love their wives in the way that Christ loved the church. That's a servant love. That's a sacrificial love. That's a sanctifying love that's concerned about the holiness and the well-being of your wife. And then we talked about that self-preservation of the husband, that when he takes care of himself, he's in essence taking care of his wife because they are one flesh. Well, now Paul is going to, in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he's going to speak to the children. And I want to stop right here and say something to everybody here today, that when we appropriate the gospel, it is going to impact the way that we live. It will impact our level of holiness if it is appropriated in a right manner, okay? And this is the reason that I say that. Paul expects the gospel to impact all kinds of people. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. Paul, in chapter 6, verse 5, if you want to just look down there, look at the next group of people that he's talking to here. He's talking to slaves. Now, if anybody gets a pass on behavior, right, surely it's the slaves, right? We don't have to worry about holiness because we got a raw deal. We're slaves here. But Paul says, no, even slaves under the lordship of Christ, it's going to impact the way that we live. And I want to say the same thing to you young people here today, that if you have been shaped by the gospel, it will impact the way that you live. And the reason that I'm so passionate in saying this morning is because we have bought into a cultural lie that says you have to rebel against your parents. A cultural lie that says, you know, you have to have that season where you question authority and you buck the authorities and you tell your parents they're no good for nothing. Paul says, if you understand the gospel, if you understand the lordship of Christ, if you understand the direction of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't have to happen. Now, I'm not so naive to say that it doesn't happen. But when it does, it's a sign of sin in our life. And Paul is addressing these children and how the gospel shapes their behavior. So here's what I want to do for you young people today. And parents, I want you to listen in as well. I want us to see what the Word of God has to say to young people this morning. So chapter 6, verse 1, notice Paul says, children, obey your parents. Now this seems straightforward enough, but I want to spend some time looking at these words and understanding kind of how they're used in their context, because we need to find out exactly what Paul's saying. The first thing that he addresses here, or the group that he addresses, are children. Now, in the Bible, there are many words that we translate into the English language. We translate those words children. All the way down from the tiniest infant nursing at the mother's breast, we would call that a child in the English language. And then there's a word that's used often in the New Testament that John has kind of a tendency to use in his letters when he calls his followers little children. But this word that Paul is using is neither of those words. And as a matter of fact, the word that Paul is using is not really attached to a specific age. So the question this morning is, does this word children apply to me? You here gathered together that sat in from Children's Church, you that are gathered here today that are teenagers, those of you that are going away to college, you may say, does this apply to me? Well, let me give you what I believe to be the right answer. If you live under your parents' roof, and I'm not speaking right from my opinion, I'm talking about the larger context of this. If you are dependent upon your parents for your existence, then you are a child in the way that Paul is speaking here. And you say, Greg, where do you derive that from? Would you look at chapter 6, verse 4? Notice what it says here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul addresses children under the discipline and instruction of a father. That means they're still under their father's authority, they're still under their father's roof, and they're still receiving the care of their father. So if you fit that category, then you're the person that Paul is speaking to this morning. Now, the second question that we have to ask is this. What is this child under the care and authority of their parents? What is their duty? Because every person he's addressed thus far has a Christian duty as a wife, as a husband, and now he addresses the children. What is their duty in this Christian home? Notice what it says in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Now, if I were to be extremely black and white this morning, I would define obedience in this way. Do what you are told. And in a sense, Paul is being that cut and dry. When you talk about wives submitting to their husbands, there's a little bit of flex there, and I'll tell you why there's a little bit of flex. There's a little bit of flex there because they are mutuals in the eyes of the Lord. That's not the way it is with children when we're talking about obedience here. But I think there's more to this word than just that straightforward commandment. And I'll tell you why. Wrapped up in this word of obedience is also the word hearing. As a matter of fact, there are two Greek words that are fused together here. One of them means under, and the other means to hear. So literally, if you translate this from the Greek, you get the word to hear under. Do you know where we get the word if you go to a nice concert and you say the acoustics were really nice in there, meaning you had a pleasurable experience hearing that. That's the Greek word that we're talking about here, akouo, how we hear something. So quite literally, young people, when we talk about obedience, the thing that you need to hear this morning is it also has something to do with the way we hear, even more so than what we do. And one of the quickest ways that lead us to obedience is because we don't hear what is being said. Did you know that? Whether it's older people listening to the Word of God or younger people listening to the parents' instructions, they don't hear what's being said, and thus they don't obey it. Parents, can I ask you a question this morning? Maybe you could raise your hand in agreement or disagreement. But if you said something like this, I need you to, and you don't get those words out, and you hear the words, but, you understand what I'm saying here? But mom or but dad, and then we know immediately that our words, our instructions have been shut off. Or if we hear the instructions of our parents and we choose to plug our ears and not listen, that is a guaranteed way to lead to disobedience. That's why James, in James chapter 1, verse 22, says we are to be both hearers and doers of the word. And I want to say this to every person here, gathered here today, whether you're a child or whether you're an older person, the goal of Christianity is always obedience. Right? We're not memorizing the scriptures for the sake of having a bunch of scriptures that we can pull up at any given time. We're not reading the Bible to have a head full of knowledge. We're reading the Bible in order, and we're instructing from the Bible in order to obey it. Now, here's the good thing about Paul. Unlike some parents, Paul doesn't say, "You obey because I said to do it." Paul actually gives some good motivations for obedience. Notice in the second part of this verse, the first thing that Paul says about obedience, he says, "Obey your parents in the Lord." The wives are told to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And I want you to hear what this means. Every person here needs to hear this. Our obedience to any kind of authority should be seen as an outgrowth of our relationship to Christ and a desire to obey Him first and foremost. That's what it means in the Lord or as to the Lord. But Paul gives a really big motivation here. And I want everybody to see it. Not only are we to do this in the Lord, but he tells us the main reason we're to obey our parents. For this is right. Now, I want to say this. Whether you're in the unbelieving world or you're in a church, when you see children obeying their parents, is there not something inside of you that says that's a good thing? Susie, could I get you to agree with me on that this morning? right? If we see a child who's obedient to their parents, even if we know the parents aren't Christians, nor is the child a Christian, it is a right thing. And in some sense, that's what Paul's saying. There is written into the structure and the DNA of creation something that says God has ordained it this way, and we know that it's right. But let me give you a second way we can interpret this. It is right in that it is good and pleasing in the sight of the Lord for the believer. And did you know that every one of us, even though we're wretched sinners, even though we're saved by grace, even though there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, when we are in a right standing with God, we can still be pleasing in His sight? Would you back up to chapter 5, verse 8, and look with me what Paul says about this? Paul says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then look in verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, Paul says that's the way we want to do. That's the way we want to live as children of light. People who have crossed over from spiritual death to spiritual life, we want to live as children of light, seeking to please the Lord. And now Paul's given young people a very practical way to do that. We can please the Lord by obeying our parents. Now, turn your Bible just a few pages over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Almost verbatim what Paul's written here, but I want you to see how he translates it here. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Look at this. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Young people, listen closely. In a nutshell, when we see a person pursuing godliness in their life, when we see a person seeking to be pleasing to the Lord, the manifestation of this will be obedience to the parents. We see that every time. Not perfectly, but a seeking of that. But I want to tell you the reverse of this is true in the Scriptures. That every time we see a society that is plummeting into ungodliness and unrighteousness, one of the things that makes the list every time in the New Testament, do you know what it is? Let me show you. Karen, would you pull up Romans chapter 1, verse 30? These in the New Testament, they're all over the New Testament, and they're called vice lists. And essentially, when these are listed, basically what the writer is saying, whether it be Paul or Peter, when they put this vice list up, is they say, this is when you know society is plummeting into ungodliness and unrighteousness. And they'll give this vice list of things that are happening. Let me show you what happens when a society plummets. There are slanderers, there are haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and look at what makes the list. Disobedient to parents. It's in every vice list in the New Testament. When the world is plummeting, when ungodliness and unrighteousness are running rampant, you will see disobedience to parents. So fathers, children, you see that. You're to obey because it's right, it's good, it's pleasing the Lord. But fathers, there's a word for you here today as well. This assumes that you are disciplining and instructing your children in what they are to do that is godly. And I read a bunch of sermons and everything, and I kind of realize it's real easy to say this, but some of you here may say, well, my dad's the one that drug me into immorality. Right? I had a friend in sixth grade, and his dad introduced him to pornography. And you go, hey, that's not what Paul's talking about here. Had a friend in eighth grade whose dad said, hey, it's time to drink, right? You need to be introduced to alcohol. That's unrighteousness. And I know that happens, and some of you here today may say, that's my parents. But the reality is, fathers, you need to be leading the way in godliness and instruction in godliness. There's a weight on you in verse 4 to lead your family so that they want to obey and that they want to honor you. So we see our first commandment is to obey our parents in the Lord. But let me give you a second commandment, verse 2. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So young people, first you are to obey, and second you are to honor. And the honor, if you'll notice, and the obedience is due to both of your parents. Right? He's not just saying obey your father. He's saying obey your parents. He's not saying just honor your father. He says honor your father and your mother. And if you'll take note on both of those verses, do you notice that both of those verses are in all capital letters? These are directly taken from the Old Testament. Both of these commandments in verse 2 and in verse 3 are taken from the Ten Commandments, one out of Exodus chapter 20 and one out of Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this is very important to note this. The law of God in its moral aspects still applies to the believer. Because a lot of people say, does the law still apply to me? Yes, it does. It no longer condemns you because Christ has taken care of that condemnation. If you're here today and you're in Christ Jesus, the condemnation has been taken care of. But the law is still there to guide us and direct us to do what is right. And Paul says, we use the law in this way to instruct young people. So what does it mean to honor our parents? It's different than obedience. There's two different words here. Honoring our parents is to attribute a high status to them. You might say that obedience is an external matter and honor is more of an internal attitude. An internal attitude rather than an external matter. Would you turn over to Exodus chapter 21? I'll turn there with you. Exodus, the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 21. Young people, look at me right now for just a moment. And I want you to look up to God and say, thank God we're not under the law the way the Israelites were. And the reason you need to thank God that you're not under the Israelites is because if you were to disobey your parents, there were dire consequences. Notice chapter 21 and verse 15. He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. That was the consequence for the Israelites. Strike your mother or father, be put to death. I wonder if that limited those strikings of parents. Look back also at verse 20, or at verse 17, rather. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's the reverse of honoring, right? That's shaming your parents. That's having a low view of your parents. That's having a view that says you're not important. You're not ordained of God to be over me. That's a low view of a parent. Honor is a high view and a high status of your parents. Now, if you can make your way back to Ephesians, this applies to young and old alike. And I want to tell you how it applies to young and old alike. When we are young, the way that we can honor our parents is by respecting them. That's a way you honor your parents. You say, how do I honor my parents? You respect them. And you recognize in your parents that they are there by God's providence and God's sovereignty over you, placed over you for your good because God loves you. And you say, I respect that. Now, what about older people who are out of the house, who no longer live with their parents? How do they honor their parents? By taking care of them. Did you know that Jesus scolded the Pharisees because of their view of their parents? I'll tell you, go read it in your own time in Matthew chapter 15, but listen to what Jesus said. Jesus says, you talk about honoring your father and your mother, and then you say, we've set over these finances right here that we're going to do godly things with, and thus we can't take care of our parents. And Jesus knows the heart of the matter. They're going to use that money for themselves. And it's a way to dishonor their parents. And Jesus scolded them for that. The way that we honor our parents as older children is by taking care of them. Now, that doesn't always mean we have to take care of them financially, because some of your parents may have done the right thing financially and they take care of themselves. But it is by taking care of them when they need to be taken care of. As I was preparing this message this week, and I looked at that, I was under heavy conviction. Heavy conviction in a good way. And I sent my sister a text message. And I told her how thankful I was that she took care of my father when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She cared for him. Best care I'd ever seen. And she bathed him. And she made sure he was always clean and he was always presentable. And do you know what? She did that to the very last breath he drew. She honored him. And you say, how do you know your sister honored him? Because she took care of him. Do you know there are people in this church that take care of their parents? And you say, man, I know it's tough. I know it's a rough road, but look at what you're doing. You're honoring God with that. You're honoring God when you honor your parents. So kids, would you look at the last two motivations that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 6? He gives two motivations here. Old Testament motivations, but they're a general principle for us. In Israel, right, if you obeyed and honored your parents, there was a big blessing behind that. And there was a promise that you would be able to stand in the land of Israel for a long time. But I want you to see what he changes that to. He changes to the word earth, the land, right? And here's the reality. The first part of this is about the quality of our life, so that it may be well with you. That's one of our motivations for honoring our parents. And you say, what does it mean that it'll be well with me? Did you know a home that honors and obeys its parents is a home with less strife in it? I mean, if you've ever been in a home where someone doesn't honor their parents or obey their parents, guess who gets punished for that? Every person in that home. Right? If your sister's always running away or they're always in a collision with the parents and you say, oh, it's just them paying for that. No, it's everybody that pays for that. There's no quality of life there. He says that it may be well with you. A general principle is that life is better when we obey our parents and we honor our parents. But he also talks about the quantity of life, that you may live long on the earth. Now, I had a friend when I graduated from high school, and I'll never forget it. It was in June of that year, and I was working for a swimming pool company, and someone told me to call my boss. He was 18 years old. He'd been killed in a car wreck. Do I assume that he wasn't obeying his parents or honoring his parents? No. That's not what I assume. But as a general principle of life, we live a better life and a longer life when we honor our parents. That's a general principle. There is a blessing. Joe, we talk about that all the time. There is a blessing in obedience. There is a blessing that we have a better quality of life and quantity of life when we obey our parents. Peaceful life, less strife, good life. Now, young people, would you close your Bible? And we're going to talk about application. Three applications. Here's the first application. Both obedience and honor require strength from God. Parents, this is where you come in. We should not tell our children that it's easy to obey, right? You know, we say, it's so easy, just do what I say to do. How many of you are good at that, even as adults? But how many of you would admit as adults that we have to seek the strength in the Lord in order to obey His word? And part of our discipline and instructions, fathers, is to tell our children, you need to depend upon the Lord in this. You need to seek His strength in this in order to obey. We need to encourage our children not to obey out of sheer will, but as an outgrowth of their dependence upon the Lord. And if you need further evidence of that, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The second, you're getting ready to go to college, I want you to hear this. Both obedience and honor prepare you for a life under the rule of God. I tell my children this all the time. There will be a time very soon that they will not live under my roof any longer. And what I'm trying to do as a father is to prepare them for that time when their faith is no longer connected to my faith and it's no longer connected to Gretchen's faith. That at some point, they will be exclusively under the reign and rule of God by themselves. And what I'm saying as a father is I'm getting you ready for that time. And I tell my kids all the time, if you're having a hard time seeking obedience and honor with me, it's going to be really difficult when you're out on your own. So we want to tell them that this is training ground for obeying beyond their house of origin. So young people living a life of obedience and honoring toward your parents is training ground for that time. Lastly, and I want you to hear, I want every person to hear this. Both obedience and honor bring glory to God. I was hoping that Michelle was going to be here today. Michelle, if you're listening, I want you to hear this. I have never been invited to speak at a youth camp, but I can tell you the general messages that I've heard in the past from youth speakers. And listen, I've been doing this for a long time, even with youth ministry. You're the generation, this is what you hear at youth camps, you're the generation that's going to change the world. That's what you hear at youth camps. You're going to find the cure for cancer. You might live in a remote village in Africa and change that entire village in Africa. You won't be like your parents who just worked 8 to 5. You are world changers, right? And that packs out youth camps and that sells books. But I wish, well, the Lord is my witness, they would invite me to a youth camp. But you know what I would preach? I would preach Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And this is what I would say. You want to be a world changer? You want to be set apart from the world around you and really stand out? Do you really want to bring glory to God? Obey your parents. Honor your parents. And there is a guaranteed side effect. Glory will be given to God. That's the way you become world changers. Not going out in the world and doing it, but doing it in your own home in the time that God has ordained for you to be there. Young people, everyone, would you stand with me this morning?